Well, at least someone pays attention around here. So, happy Sabbath to all of you. I hope this day finds you in good spirits. The scripture reading for today is going to come from Ecclesiastes 11. Now, when I say for the day, it's not just because I chose it for today, but that scripture talks about hard times. I don't know about you, but I think we're kind of in hard times. And I certainly think more hard times are coming. So we'll begin in verse 1, where it says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks to the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind, or how a baby is formed in its mother womb, so you cannot understand the works of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seeds in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will be equally successful." You know, we are told in the New Testament that these words, the words that are contained in the Old Testament, were sufficient to make us wise unto salvation. So let's just think about what we have read. The words of God, words that are supposed to be manna, food, life to us. One of the things that I wanted to look at is, what does this mean to cast your bread upon waters? What does it mean to cast bread? Well, according to Bullinger's Companion Bible, Appendix 6, it's a figure of speech. And it's a figure of speech meaning that you can present the effect and they understand that there was a cause, that there's this relationship. So in other words, there's something you can do and it's going to produce this result. And you can present either one first. So you could say cast your seed, because you're going to have to plant a seed in order to grow the wheat to make the bread. There's something that causes us to be able to get this loaf of bread. So let's understand to start with that we're talking about a cause and effect principle here. So we have a short amount of time. We won't be able to cover all the things that this verse would deserve time for, but let's highlight a few things. One of the things I want to talk about is, what do we have to cast? What is it that we can cast that could come back? What is the cause and effect things that we have control over? The first I want to talk about is our time. Everyone, no matter your condition, we all have time. Now, we can use our time in service to others. That's doing things for them. We could help them out. Maybe we know that they're sick and we can bring them food. We can spend time with them. Maybe we just know they're really hurting. And we can spend time listening to them, spending time just being there, going through an event. Whatever it is, there's those type of things. We can also spend our time praying for them. They may not even know it. But we can actually take our time, we can cast our time upon the waters, and we can spend time praying for them, meditating, maybe fast for them. Whether they know it or not, it's just as effective. It's something that we have power over. We have control over. Will we do this for someone else or not? It's something that we can cast. There's another thing that we can cast, and that's our talent. We all have skills, abilities, things that we do and do well, do by nature maybe. Now, there's different types of talent. Maybe you have the ability to figure out taxes. I certainly don't. I don't even try. I hand that off to my wife. One of the benefits of being married. So, however, she has that ability. She may know someone struggling. She may decide, I'll help them out with their taxes. That's using a skill. Maybe you're a carpenter. You know how to fix some stuff up. Maybe you can help someone out and use that skill to do that. You know what? I've been over this guy's house 12 times. He's never going to get around to fixing that gutter. I'll just come over and fix it for him. So certainly, that's a way of casting your talent. We also have spiritual talents. Sometimes we downplay what God has given us. We think, oh, I can't sing like Heidi, or I can't play the piano like Jonathan or whatever it might be. And so we think we don't have talents. But that's a bunch of hooey. We all have talents. We all have spiritual gifts. And we might as well admit it and start using them. Because we're going to be held accountable for what we do with what we have. So no matter how low you feel like you are, you've got something you can give. You've got talents and you've got spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are, it might be smart to figure it out. You might want to take some time. Ask other people. A lot of times, people know what your gifts are before you do. I went through that a number of years ago, and people are like, are you kidding? Here's what your gift is. It's like, oh, really? Yeah, really. So what are you going to do with it? You have a spiritual gift. You might have more than one. You might have two or three. And to pretend like you don't doesn't serve you well, doesn't serve the congregation well, and certainly doesn't honor God. Let's be honest. There's no way of tricking God, no way of hiding the truth. He knows what it is. So you might as well be in tune with what are you? What do you have to give? So our talents are something that we can cast upon the water. Here's one we don't like to talk about so much, but it's obvious. We have treasure or money. Okay? So we have money, we have investments. It could be cash, it could be stocks, bonds, all these things, gold. So what are we doing with that? You know, am I deciding what do I do with that? Am I deciding who gets it? Do they get anything or not? Or am I letting God guide me to decide? Do I think of those things as mine? Or am I merely the steward who goes over here and asks the master, what do you want me to do with all these wealths that you gave me possession of? Okay, so what are we going to do with that? Here's another part of treasure we don't always think about. We have resources. You might have tools. You might have equipment. So let's say I've got a big utility trailer. Do I just hold on to that? Or do I, hey, someone's moving. Do you need a utility trailer? You want to borrow mine? Maybe I got a pressure washer. Maybe I got an extra car. Maybe I got an extra car and I see that there's this person who's maybe they're a college student struggling paying a lot of bills. They're trying to catch buses from here to there. And can you give me a ride to church? Maybe I just loan them my car. Hey, I got an extra car. I got four of them. I can only drive one at a time. You want to borrow one of mine so you can get around better? So we have resources. Maybe you have an extra room. Might not have money, but I've got an extra room. That's something you could cast upon the waters. You could offer it to someone. Maybe you see a single person who's struggling because, you know, economies are tight and they've got to kind of foot all their expenses, all their time, doing their taxes all by themselves. They might be talented, wonderful people. Maybe they got a job, but nonetheless, it can be a little taxing, a little stressful. So what type of resources do we have? That's something else. We have the option whether or not we want to cast that upon the waters. Do we want to cast that? So let's be creative. Think about all the different things you could do. You know, think about this. Maybe you go to the feast and you rent a house and it's got an extra room. You could ask a widow if she wants to use it with you. Well, now you've taken your resource, you cast them upon the water, and that could be a real big benefit to them. What if you actually bought the rent of the house knowing on purpose to get an extra room so that you would have something you could offer? That's something we could do. That's casting our bread upon the waters, taking our resources, maybe magnifying them, maybe using them in a little bit better way. So now, there's a number of things we can do with money or treasure. We can save it. We can invest it. We can spend it, or we can loan it out. So let's talk about spending for a moment. You know, you could, if let's say you need some work done on your house, or you decide, you know what, I really need to get these windows clean. So you could go to the yellow page and say, hey, ABC Window Cleaning Company, why don't you come on out here and clean my windows? Maybe you get a good guy, maybe you won't. You'll probably wind up with clean windows. Nothing wrong with that. But you use those resources on yourself, and that's one thing you could do. Or you could ask around in the church, is there anyone who cleans windows? Maybe you say, Frank does, Warren does. Maybe I'll see if one of those wants to come out and do my windows. So maybe call up Frank, and Frank has time and he wants to come out. So maybe he'll do a good job, maybe you're not. So you're kind of even there. But now let's say you do hire him to come out. What happens then? Now take a check. Now let's just think this through a little bit. So now if we have him to come out, and you pay him money to do the windows, Have you helped one person? No. You've actually, there are four apartments. There's Lisa and Sophie and Lily and Frank. So now, you've taken your dollars and now you've given employment and sustenance to four. Now what are they going to do? They're going to take that money and it helps them to live, so that's a good thing. And then they're going to turn around and pay first tithe, second tithe, third tithe. Whoa. So now you've helped their feast out too. So now you helped four people, but then you did it twice, that's eight. And now you got money going into first tithe. Well, that helps another group of people. And then the third tithe, well, that's yet another group of people needy. It seems like you now took one thing that you needed or wanted to have done anyway. And now, four and four is eight, nine, ten. That seems like a tenfold return. Pretty cool. Economies of scale. Now, let's just say, imagine this, that Frank says, you know what? I now got enough money. What I really need to do is have some new carpets put in. So he calls Tim. And then he pays Tim some money for that. And then Tim turns around. And that's going to help Tim out and his family. Because he's not just one again. And then it's going to fund his second tithe, first tithe, third tithe. We see how this can start to expand. So, how much did we do when we chose to use someone in the church to ask? Maybe someone's out of work. Maybe there's someone who's got carpentry skills and you could have a bathroom modeled. Now you've given them work and they're really stressed out. There's lots of ways we can cast our water upon our bread upon the water. Some of it is very, very smart. Some of it's very, very wise. And some of it really builds a lot of momentum. Now we know what God says when he says that, when you've done it to one of the least of these three brethren, you've done it unto me. So now when you choose, if you choose, to use someone in the church for things you need or want, how good is that? Now you've also made credit points with God. I think it's something for us to consider. Am I saying you have to use someone in the church and never can go out? Nope. Am I saying you need to give away all your money? Nope. I'm saying you and God have to sort out why were you given what you were given and who does he want you to use it for and how and why and where. It's not for us just to willy-nilly do it. It's a tremendous opportunity. So there are lots of benefits for doing that. Now let's say you hire someone in the church and they don't actually do a great job. Maybe you would have been better off going outside. I still think you probably come out ahead because of all these other benefits. Now, what if you offer it to someone, you offer your time, your skills, whatever, and they turn you down? You still win. Now, if we remember the story of Abraham, he was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And what did God do? God counted it as though he did it, because he was fully intending to do it. So, if I offer a room, hey, you guys might be struggling, do you want to take one of my rooms in my house? I don't have a lot of money. If they turn me down, God still counts it as though I did it. So, in a sense, you can really build up a lot of brownie points or cast a lot of bread, because sometimes God allows you to take one asset that you have, you offer it over here, someone says no. God counts it as though you did it, so you've just cast your bread upon water. But now you get to take that same one and offer it to someone else, and offer it to someone else. God provides us many, many chances to build up spiritual wealth. No matter where we are in the economic cycle, we have many, many opportunities. And even if you invite someone over for dinner or whatever, everyone loves to be invited. Everyone loves to know, wow, someone's thinking about me and my situation. So whether they accept or not, doesn't matter. You're trying to do the best you can with what you have. One of the things that we have to cast upon the water is our treasure. And it's made up of a number of components, resources, opportunities like that. There's yet more things, believe it or not, that we can cast upon the water. Tongues. Our tongue. We can use our tongue. The words we say. Is something that we can cast upon the water. Scripture says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So what are we going to do with our words? Will we utter words of encouragement, praise, faith, truth, edification? Or will we utter words that bring death, destruction, depression? And this words of life, it's not just the words we say, how they affect us, but we have a tremendous impact on other people. You know, the stories you probably heard them where people were teetering which way to go. And depending on what someone said, they might go and commit suicide. They might give up on a dream. They might just fold in the tents and give up on the church and God. So when we're using our words, or if we don't, there's sins of omission and commission. Sometimes I think the thing that God will get most upset are the things we didn't do, the words we didn't say, the thank yous, the praise. Maybe being vulnerable to express, you know what, I noticed you changed a lot. That's really amazing. Or maybe there had been a riff and you see the other person trying to make amends, trying to reestablish and reconnect and have reconciliation. Will you be brave enough to say the words, I understand what you're doing, I appreciate that, or I forgive you? Because when we do that, we become a little more vulnerable. So will we cast that type of bread upon the water? Choices we make. The choices we make make a difference. What about this? Most people don't think about this, but one thing we can do, and this isn't quite so tangible, we can cast trust. It's up to us if we want to trust, if we want to have faith, if we want to believe. And this primarily is in terms of God. You know, like I said, I think we're living in hard times. Some of us are doing really, really well, and you're almost embarrassed to admit it. Life is good. You've got a great job. You've got lots of resources. Things are good with your wife, your family, your kids, your health. But there's others at this moment in time, maybe through their own faults, probably not. Maybe a mixture of things. But the reasons don't matter. There are people who are going through tough, tough times right now. They might be not having a job. They might be looking at losing their home. They might be battling severe health problems or death. And so when you get into there, or anywhere in between, how are we going to live? Are we going to live by faith, or are we going to live by what we can charge on our credit card with no expectation of paying it off? Are we going to be humble enough to ask for help, trusting in God or people that they'll understand and not put us down, and just offer help where they can? No matter, will we do the right thing, even if it hurts me, economically, emotionally, or in some other way? Just because we know if we do the right thing, God will take care of us. Do we have that type of trust? That's a really big thing. If we can cast that upon the waters in the midst of our own pain, our own suffering. And it's easy to say, hard to do. And when I'm under pressure, I probably cry and scream more than most. But nonetheless, when we're under that kind of pressure, do we put our trust to God? I don't know if any of you play poker or not, especially this Texas Hold'em. But it is a neat illustration that I think really for me sums up part of this. The more pressure, the more stress, the more you can't see a way out, the more the right move is to go all in. In other words, take all your bets and say, I place it on you, God. My hopes, my dreams, everything possibly good that could happen in this life and the next life, I put it all on you. I take all of my bets and put it on one. If it was a crap table, you would have red and black and all these numbers, and one of them would say God, and you just take everything. Hopes, dreams, reputation, and put it on God and roll the dice. That's your best bet. It's counterintuitive because the more pressure comes on, the more we want to draw in. We want secure. We want safety. As things went happen in the markets, what did people do? Oh, it's bad. So they fled to safety. They went to treasuries, which, of course, lost money this year. But it's natural. That's how we're designed. We want to pull in. There's a scripture that says, there are those who give and have abundance, those who hold on and lack. So most of the times, the spiritually, the correct thing to do is counterintuitive. If you give away your life, you will gain it. If you hold on to it, you lose it. In times of great pressure is the times where you have the greatest opportunity to cast. One of the things you can cast, if you're wiped out economically, you don't have time, you don't have emotion, you can choose to say, God, I choose to have faith in you. I choose to believe in what I can't see. I choose to believe and hope in your goodness, that you are already planning and orchestrating my rescue and my deliverance. If you will, turn to 2 Kings 6. You probably know this. 2 Kings 6, the king of Assyria is just fuming mad because there is a prophet that keeps telling Israel exactly what his plans are, and he's getting foiled. So he's finally had it, and he says, that's it. Send them all down there. Find out where that Elijah are. We are going to wipe him off of the face of the earth. And when all these armies with the horses and the chariots surround Elijah, his servant, is petrified. And he says, Master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So here's what Elijah says to him. So it says, and then the servant came to the man of God, rose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, Alas, Master, what shall we do? So he answered, Do not fear, for those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So we are designed to live by sight, but we are called to live by faith. It's not easy, but we need to somehow learn to trust in what we can't see. Learn to depend and hope on God and all the goodness that He loves us personally. And when we, in times of stress and pressure and heartache and pain and suffering, can take that and cast that trust upon God, that's something that's going to come back manyfold for us. That's a great thing to cast. That is a great thing to cast. Now, let me go to address another scripture. If you will turn to Acts 2. I want to answer this question. So these are all the things we can cast. But I want to address what should we cast. What should we be casting? What bread should we be casting upon the waters? And in Acts 2, verse 2, we find this. Suddenly there came... I don't know. I wrote down the wrong scripture, so I'll just tell you. I'm sorry. Bound to happen, right? Okay. See, anyway, Peter is walking, and there's a man who's lame, and he's begging for alms. And he says, Master, Master, give me alms. And Peter says, you know what? He looked and he says, look at me. Money and treasure I have not to give, but what I do have to give, I will give you. And he said, arise and walk. And the man was healed. I think it's very important to understand this point. What are you supposed to give? What are you supposed to cast away? It's what you have. Not what you don't have. Not what you can borrow. Not what you can put on your charge card. Okay? We give what we have to give. You don't give what you don't have. Now, if this person needs something that you don't have to give, then maybe someone else is supposed to supply that need. We are supposed to take our needs, let God guide us, and give and cast our bread upon the waters and be a benefit to those that we can be a benefit to, not those that we can't. So I feel very strongly when I say we are to give what we have, whether that be in our time, our resources, our money, our prayers, whatever it is that you have to give. Don't try and give something you don't have. That's going to mess everything up. Have faith that God will provide. Okay? So I think it's important that that's what we give. And the way we know what we should give, we need to let God lead us. It's those who are led by the Holy Spirit. Those are the sons of God. There's no shortcut. There's no easy answer. There's no one template that fits everyone. Okay? So now let's talk a little bit about who we can give to. We can give to ourselves. But one times one is one, so you haven't really multiplied much of your benefit. We can give to our family. We can give to church members. We can give to neighbors. We can give to co-workers. Now, Scripture sets a priority where it says that do good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. But there's also some other groups that deserve very special attention. Widows, singles, orphans, literally and figuratively. There are some who aren't literally orphans, but maybe their parents are very disconnected. New people who are just coming into our community. Visitors. They're all, for different reasons, are very important groups to God. And so there would be good for us to really take attention and take special effort and thought. Or is there anything I can do to cast my bread for any of these other groups? When I think of the year 2010, I don't know what you think of, but I think that it's a year of opportunity. It's an opportunity to cast, and to cast a lot. It's an opportunity to trade what are diminishing assets. Because when we look at the time you die or when tribulation comes, our talent, our time, the words we can say, these are all diminishing in what we can do. You might have gold and say it went up in value, but at the end of your life, it's worth nothing. When we get to the tribulation, it's worth nothing. Most of these things are physical. So we have an opportunity to trade what is going down in value for something that's going up in value. For me, I love doing that. If I can find something like that for clients, I think that's a great investment. When you can trade something that's plummeting for something that is not only going up, but is sure, can't be taken away. It's a guaranteed return. So I hope you see this as a chance to have opportunities, to cast your bread upon waters, and wait, and many days later it returns in this life and the next life. My prayer is that God will help us all, not only cast our bread upon waters, but cast often and cast wisely.